Hi, welcome to Whiskey Cask, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie, and this is episode 47 on location at the New York Yacht Club, where the Glasgow City Marketing Council is holding a special reception to honor tall ships racing in a round-the-world race. One of the highlights of the event, a whiskey blending competition sponsored by Glengoyne Distillery.
I like some of the fruity apples. I like the light and sweeter, so a little bit of that and a little bit of the honey.
This gives us a chance to look at one of the myths about whiskey, the belief that there are just 32 primary aromas detectable to the nose. More on that in a minute, but first, the news. And there's a Glasgow focus. For months now, bar owners and whiskey lovers in Glasgow have complained about the city's plans to ban the use of glasses in Glasgow pubs. The good news, that ban has been thrown out, according to the Marketing Council's Scott Taylor.
There will no longer be a glass ban in Glasgow. And I think that's important for pubs like the Pot Still in Glasgow, where whiskey is served in whiskey glasses. We joined with them and other publicans to really say, listen, guys, you can't do this. You know, what is the point of banning glass? You can't serve whiskey in a plastic cup. And I'm really very, very pleased, as a previous licensee in Glasgow, to say that's been overturned.
The outcry about the glass ban was so strong that Ken Story, the owner of the Pot Still, Whiskey Magazine's Bar of the Year, pledged to defy the ban even if it cost him his liquor license. Back to the main event now. Glengoyne gave guests here a glass filled with 50 milliliters of grain whiskey, along with 8 single malts to blend with that grain whiskey, under the guidance of Sarah Bottomley.
Basically, we're telling people to have some fun, but giving them the basics as well. Obviously, they need to know where to start, so we're telling them a little bit about grain whiskey and where that comes from and why that's used as the base for blended whiskies. And we're talking them through the different whiskies that we have on the table. But at the end of the day, people are here, you know, for a social occasion. They're here to have a little bit of fun. So we're just trying to do it in quite a light-hearted way without bogging them down with too much information.
My name is Mark Dexter.
Okay. Have you ever done this before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so you're starting with 50 milliliters of grain whiskey. Where are you going from here?
I'm looking for a spicy blend, something with a little smoke, a little peat, something I think that'll last for a while. You know, I'm going to start the mid-range here. A little bit of fruity apples, possibly, and then we'll move along to the more spicy versions.
So you started with the Glengoyne, and now you're going to the Springbank, right?
Yes.
What do you hope this will add to the blend?
I'm hoping it adds a little body and adds a little bit of muscle, a little bit of smokiness and peat. Oh yeah, that's nice. Very nice. I'm looking for some muscle, and I really need to get some of these more peaty flavored malts in here. Highland Park is going to be really good. See where we're at now. Excellent nose. This is going to be fun. See if we can finish this one off. The Laugh Frog. Oh, that's great. That's going to work great. There we go. First taste. Very smoky. Just the way I like it. Might even go back and put a little more fruit in. After all, it is experimentation, isn't it?
Okay, Sarah, evaluate Mark's blend. How did he come out?
I was just saying that Mark's blend's very good, but I think that he needs to add a little bit more. I think I can still smell quite a lot of grain whiskey at the bottom of that, so I feel he needs to add a little bit more of the single malt. But he's got a nice smoky flavour coming through, but it's not too overpowering, so I think he's doing very well. But I think he needs to add a little bit more single malt, and it means you'll have more in your bottle as well, but it's very, very good.
What do you think, Mark?
Excellent expert advice, exactly what I needed to hear. And I think I'm on my way to achieving what I want, but we'll go back and put a little more effort into it. Hopefully end up with a master blend. We'll see.
The winner received a bottle of 29-year-old Glengoyne. Now to our main story. For years now, whiskey's conventional wisdom has held that there are just 32 different aromas that the nose can distinguish. The nose is one of the body's most sensitive organs, so just 32 different aromas sounds a bit too few. Kevin Erskine of the Scotch blog decided to look into the question a few weeks ago.
As I was expanding on how to nose whiskey, I continued to do research, and I thought, and I had read that little snippet before, that there are four primary tastes, but there are 32 primary aromas. So I didn't just want to slap in that there are 32 primary aromas, because the next question I'd get from someone would be, well, what are they? And I want to know, too. So as I started investigating, I kept finding this a little snippet that there are 32 primary aromas, but nobody could tell me what they were. And I searched long and hard. And so I decided to call some people who are in, let's call them the aroma sciences, Cornell, the Monell Sensory Institute up in Philadelphia, some people in England. And I said, hey, I keep reading this, but is this true? And every one of the scientists told me, no, that's absolutely not true. And we, not only that, we've never even heard that before. So then I did more research and found that all of the listings that say there are 32 primary aromas are specific to the Scotch whiskey industry. And so nobody can tell me where they're from, but I've heard a couple of people say that they think it originally came from Charles McLean. So I started looking into Charles McLean stuff, and he mentions it in a number of his books and articles, but even he doesn't say what those 32 primary aromas are.
Charles McLean gives an American researcher the credit or the blame for coming up with the theory back in a 1977 scientific paper.
His name was John E. Amour, A-M-O-O-R-E. And this is a review paper called Specific Anosmia. Anosmia is odor blindness. Specific anosmia and the concept of primary odors. Now, the abstract, this paper is a review of progress in the specific anosmia approach to the classification of odors with a developed suggestion by blah, blah, blah. But it was based upon odor blindness. We have named the corresponding primary odors sweaty, spermous, fishy, malty, urinous, and musky. There is evidence that other mammals may possess many of the same primary odor sensitivities. These primary odors appear to be well adapted to perceiving food and body odors, thereby conveying nutritional information and pheromonal signals in animals and men. Evidence from the known varieties of specific anosmia suggests that the total number of human primary odors is at least 32.
How many aromas are there in whiskies? Well, the world may never know.
It's a figure that's bandied around, and I've bandied it around, just as an example of three primary colors, four primary tastes, 32 primary odors, and it just gives you an idea of the vastness of our odorific palette, if you like, the number of aromas that we draw upon when we're putting together and identifying aromas and compounds, because the fascinating thing is really not so much whether it's, how many primary odors there are, but just how phenomenally sensitive the nose is in picking up these odors, which we typically pick up in parts per million, parts per billion in some cases, and indeed in some odors, mercaptans, and some odors that are found in malt whiskey in parts per trillion. Part per trillion has been described to me as a drop of ink in Loch Ness.
Even the scientists were saying they don't like to classify things by a primary aroma, because as you talk to these guys, it's sort of a fascinating subject, but it also is, a lot of it is over my head, the science of it. They wouldn't want to define things, but what some of them were telling me is they create a lexicon for describing aromas, and for different foodstuffs and different drinks and different anything, they have different lexicons. So the total lexicon to describe all of the aromas in the world numbers in the hundreds and hundreds. But then when they're trying to work on a specific item, like coffee, like scotch, like whatever, fruitcake, they develop a lexicon that encompasses what they think that item might have, and they said in Scotch it numbers in the hundreds. The lexicon that they would use to describe all of the possible flavors, all of the possible aromas you could detect in a whiskey.
Kevin's original article is available at the Scotch blog. There's a link from the WhiskeyCast website. That's all for this edition of WhiskeyCast, on location at the New York Yacht Club. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2006, and this time not coming to you from the charming yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.